Well, welcome back to Module 3 of Updating Your Database Management Skills with SQL Server 2014. I'm Pete Harris.
And I'm still Graham Malcolm.
That's good.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
No, that hasn't changed at all. although, we will now be looking at data quality services, so we might find some inconsistencies.
We might.
In the last module, we looked at consistency with master data services, and we found some curious things about our data inconsistently. Now we're going to look at quality, I should say.
Good link. I like that. That was nicely segued in there. Okay, so
in the last module, you weren't sure who I am, who I was, and where I lived, and those things. So
that's just a regular morning for me, to be honest. But, okay, so here we are. We're going to have a look at data quality services. So DQS arrived with SQL Server 2012. So obviously, if you're upgrading from 2008, this will be new to you. And what DQS lets us do is to extend that ability we've got with master data services, where we're creating a single central location of our data, and actually do some quality checking of that data. And one of the things people quite often ask me is, what's the difference between master data services and data quality services? And to be honest, there's a lot of overlap. But the thing that I always say is, well, if I've got a customer and I have three different addresses for that customer, data quality services can tell me if those addresses are valid, if they are in fact regular addresses, that city is indeed in that state, that they're actually valid. But master data services can tell me which one the customer actually lives in. So that's really the difference between the two. Master data services works at the entity level. It's about an individual that I'm. This is the definitive version of that entity. Data quality services works at the column level primarily, and what it does is validate that the values we've got in there are in fact valid values. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to look at data quality services, and then we'll look at the two things that we can do with that. We can cleanse data, and we can match data in order to perform deduplication. So we'll have a look at all of those things, and this is a fairly demo-heavy session, this one, so we should see how the tools work and how the data is actually cleansed. So the data quality problem we have is that typically we're making business decisions based on the data we have. So we have to be able to trust that data. We need to have data that's trusted. And data quality issues can creep in from all sorts of places and lead to inaccurate results when we're reporting or analyzing or just generally working with the data. So for example, I might have an invalid data value. So somebody's maybe entered the state that they live in. Maybe it's a freeform text entry state. And they've put in this case, California. So they've missed out the A, they've just mistyped it. Easy mistake to make. But of course, when I do some analysis, SQL Server inherently, if I'm running a Transact SQL query, doesn't know the difference between California and California. All it knows is that there are two different values. So if I'm aggregating and enough people have mistyped things, I start to get miscounts. I start to get data that doesn't quite count up properly because it's not going to count everything as being in the same thing. It doesn't know that California is really should be interpreted as California. I might also get inconsistencies. So I might have some people type in California, the entire name, but other people might use CA. They might use the state abbreviation for California. And again, that means that I've got two different values that mean the same thing. And when I go to query my data, I'm going to get different results. You know, one set of results for California, one set of results for CA. And then I might have a problem with duplication. And we touched on this a little bit with master data services. I might have the same entity entered multiple times, but they mean the same thing. So Jim Corbin, James Corbin, J Corbin might all actually be aliases for the same thing. And what I might want to do is consolidate those together and deduplicate and make sure that I've got the same value. So DQS is a tool for handling all these types of issues. It's for managing the quality of my data, cleansing it, and deduplicating it. And it's provided with SQL Server. There's a service component that we install in a SQL Server instance. And there's a client tool that's a fairly intuitive, almost wizard-based client tool that we can use to define what we call a knowledge base, everything we know about the data that we can use to validate it, and then to actually perform that data cleansing and data matching. So pretty cool stuff. So I mentioned a knowledge base. And the point about all of this is that it's a knowledge-based approach. The idea is that a data steward, we talked about a data steward in the master data services module, is usually a business user who understands the data, who takes ownership of particular aspects of the business data. And they're someone who should know whether values in there are valid or invalid, or they should understand what are the common mistakes that happen in the data, what are the common kind of things that need to be corrected. And what they'll do is build up a knowledge base of those corrections. So over time, they will go in and analyze that data, they'll build that knowledge base, they'll explore the data and discover things about common things that people enter where they need to change it. So people might commonly enter CA and we want to change it to California. That becomes part of the knowledge base. We just know that that CA means the same thing as California. So the data stewards build this this knowledge base that has all of that information encoded in it, and then we have this data quality services engine that can apply the knowledge in the knowledge base to cleanse data as it comes through. And it does that through data validation rules for domains. Now, domain is just, if you're from a database background, you'll know a domain effectively just means a column. Effectively, it just means a set of specific values. So we have domain validation rules for each column of data, or even for a grouping of columns. We can specify rules that say, well, here's how we correct the common mistakes for this column. So for a state column, I might have a rule that says, if somebody enters CA, correct it to California. Or if somebody enters NY, correct it to New York. So let's drill in and have a look at how we create a knowledge base and see how that works. So I'll switch to my demo machine. So here we are in the demo machine, and I've got the Data Quality Services client tool installed on here. So I'll start that, and it's going to prompt me to connect to my Data Quality Services server. So we'll go ahead and do that. And this is the interface from which I can manage my knowledge bases, and I can actually perform some data cleansing and so forth. So let's start by creating a new knowledge base. And I'm just going to simply call this demo KB, just for something to be simple. And I can actually either create it from scratch, or I can select an existing knowledge base on which to base this one. So if I've already got knowledge in the business about different values, I could use that. And there's one that comes with the system itself. This is provided with SQL Server, called DQS Data, that contains some already existing knowledge about states and countries and so on. So that sounds like a sensible thing for me. I'm going to take that guy, and I'm going to use this for initially domain management. So we're going to manage that domain. So here we go, or manage that knowledge base rather. So it's going to create this new knowledge base. It's going to import the domains from the existing knowledge base, and I'm going to start using that. So here's my knowledge base, and here are the domains that are defined in it, the ones that I've imported from the existing one. And the only one I'm really concerned about at the moment is state. I'm likely to use state, so I'm going to come to that, and I may have states that are not in the US. I may be dealing with states and provinces in other countries, so I'm just going to rename that there just to make a slight change to it. And you can see that I can edit the properties of my state by doing that type of thing. If I have a look across and look at the domain values for this, I can see there are already some defined values for that state domain. So we know that Alabama is a state. We know that AL and ALA with a dot are sometimes used to refer to that state. And we've configured our knowledge base to say that if AL or ALA is used, then it just gets converted to Alabama automatically. So I can see how that is set up. This idea, the value that everything else gets converted to for a particular value is called the leading value for that member. So this Alabama is the leading value, and then I've got some other things that mean the same thing. Okay, so that's given me a good head start. I've got some existing data in there. That's pretty neat. What I'm gonna do then is I'm gonna go ahead and finish that initial piece of domain management. I'm not quite ready to publish my knowledge base yet, so I'm gonna say no to this message. Because what I now want to do is I want to engage in some knowledge discovery. I want to go and find out about the values that I'm going to be dealing with and see if there's any other bits of knowledge that I can incorporate into my knowledge base. So we'll make the changes to that one that we've made, and we'll save that down. And it appears under here as my list of recently used knowledge bases. And I'll open it for knowledge discovery. So let's go and do that. And when I'm using knowledge discovery, what I do is I take a source, a sample source of my data, so typically a subset of my entire data system. In this case, it's an Excel file. And I'm going to go to that Excel file, and I'm going to import the data from it and compare it to the domains that I've got defined in the knowledge base. So in this case, it's this table of stores. And I can see in that source data, I've got a whole bunch of columns in there. So I can see that I've got state already listed in there, and that maps to my state domain that I've got defined in the knowledge base. But I've got some other things in here as well. So you can see that I've got city. And of course, I don't have an existing domain for city. So at this point, I can just go ahead and create one. So I can go ahead and create a domain, call it city. And I could specify all the various different things that I want to do with that. In this case, it's a regular string value. So we'll just go ahead and add that in like that. So I've got my city. I'm going to add store type as well. So let's get our store type. And we'll go and create a new domain for that. Add that in as well. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So I've got my state, my city, and my store type. I think that's pretty much all I need. And what I'm going to do now is do some discovery about these different values. So I'm going to look at the data and see what I can discover about that data. So we'll do our next step. And I'm ready to go and start analyzing the data. So we'll click start. And the data quality services system is now going to import all of that data from my data that I'm using for discovery. And it's going to start analyzing the various values I've got mapped to those domains. So I can see that it's bringing in some data. It's discovered 11 new cities and 11 new store types. Well, that's not surprising because we didn't have any defined already. It hasn't discovered any new states. So I get a little red warning there and a message to say that there's no new values and we're not gaining any knowledge from this field. You might want to remove it. Well, I'm going to leave it because I want to use it later on. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move to the next step here. And I can actually see for each of these domains, here's city, here are the new values that were discovered. So there were 11 instances of one of these things. Five of them were New York, three of them were Los Angeles, three of them were Seattle. So it's gone and found those new values. If I have a look at state, it didn't discover any new values at all. But if I clear that option to view only the new values and see all of them, I should be able to scroll down and see in this frequency column how often the existing values were found. So if I scroll down through that, there should certainly be a Washington because we had Seattle. So yeah, there you go. WA was found once and Washington itself was found twice. So it's able to go and find those values and recognize, yeah, we knew about those, that's fine. And for store type, well, they're all new values that it's found there. But there are a couple of issues here that I want to start dealing with. So I've discovered some things about my data. I'm kind of moving back into that knowledge management type approach here because I've recognized that resale and retail probably mean the same thing. If I'm categorizing a store as a retail store, well, that's really a resale store in my parlance as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select these two and I'm going to see these are actually synonyms for one another. And when I do that, I can see that it's automatically picked the first one I selected, resale, as being the leading value. So it's saying retail, it's correct, but it should be corrected to resale. It's a valid value, but I want to consolidate that and make it the same. But actually, retail is by far the more common one. So it's probably more sensible to do it the other way around. So I'll right-click retail and say, no, I want this one to be the leading value. And now resale will be corrected to retail. So already I'm building some knowledge that says, look, if somebody says resale, they mean retail. So just correct it. I've also got this slightly weird option here. I've got whale sale, which sounds like a very unlikely business proposition. So that's probably a typo. And I can see there's a little red squiggly line to tell me there's a mistake here. So if I right-click on that, it picks up that should be wholesale. So we'll just use the spell checker. So that's pretty neat. Actually, DQS is just taking advantage of the fact that it has the spell checking built in. And it knows, right, that's probably a mistake. Let's correct it. And it can pick up and say, yeah, that was an error. And it needs to be corrected to wholesale. So it's picking up some pretty sensible corrections for me. And that allows me to go ahead and finish that knowledge discovery. Now, I'm still not quite ready to publish. I'm going to say no, because I want to emphasize the point that this knowledge management is typically an iterative process. Your data steward is likely to go through this process a number of times. And every time we do our validation of data, we might discover new things and keep adding to the knowledge base. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to use the knowledge base for knowledge management. So I'm back in that similar UI I started with where I was managing my various data domains to begin with. And I'm going to go and have a look at my store type domain. I think there's probably still some corrections I might want to make there. Because I've been speaking to various employees, and some of them keep describing to me reseller is the term that they use. Now, that hasn't shown up in my sample data, but anecdotally, I know that people talk about a reseller, and they mean a retail store. So I'm going to go ahead and add a new domain value just manually here and say that it's reseller. And I'm going to say that reseller, if I just press return so that that enters, reseller is actually, again, a synonym for retail. So I can go ahead and I can specify that that's what it should be. So again, I've gone and modified my my domains. I'm now ready to go in and finish this modification. And this time I am done. I'm ready to go ahead and publish my knowledge base so I can start using it to do some data cleansing with my data. So that will go off and publish that and save it. And we'll leave that doing that and we'll switch back to the slides. So what you saw there was that managing the knowledge is a really iterative process. And I mean, Pete, I'm sure you would agree in your business here, there are some people that you just go to who know about the data, they
definitely
know what the values are.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's fairly common in most organizations that you have someone who's just naturally going to fit into that role of the data steward and be the one that manages this knowledge base. And you can formalize that and give them this tool and they can manage the knowledge base for the data. What about actually cleansing the data? What about once we've got that knowledge base and I've got a whole bunch of data that perhaps users have entered, customers have come to the website and entered data and all that kind of thing, how do I go about cleansing the data and applying these different rules that I've defined? Well, I can do that by using a data cleansing project, and I can do that again with the same tool that we've just seen. So let's have a look at how we do that. And again, we'll just skip back to the demo machine. So here's my data quality services client application, and I've got my knowledge base already defined, so I can create a new data quality project. And when I do that, it's saying, well, okay, you give a name to this project, so I'm going to call it Cleanse Stores. And I choose which knowledge base I want to use. Well, I've got a couple here. I'm going to use my demo KB that I created previously. And it gives me a preview of the different domains that are defined in there, so I can see the different things that I'm going to be able to work with. And it gives me an activity to work on. So I'm going to work on cleansing my data. So let's go to the next step. And it'll actually kick off that project. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect, this time instead of to the spreadsheet, which just contained a subset of my data to do for knowledge discovery, I'm going to connect to an actual data source on SQL Server. I'm going to connect to my demo DQS database, and it contains a table of stores. So I've got some store data that I now want to go and cleanse. And so what I'll do is I will map my city column to the city domain, and I'll map the state column to the state domain, and I'll map my store type to store type. So really just creating that relationship between the columns in the data source, which might have different names, of course, from the domains, but I'm saying this is the domain I want you to validate that column with. So, okay, I'm ready to go to my next step. And I'm ready to go ahead and actually do the data cleansing process. So let's go ahead and start that. And it will run for a little while and process that data. So it's gonna bring in those rules from the data source and apply the various rules to them. And I can see what's being suggested as it does it. So it's cleansing the records now. And I can see that what it's done is it's applied various rules. It's suggested one new value for city. So it hasn't actually gone ahead and done the correction. It said, well, look, I think this is probably needing to be corrected. So it suggested it. And then for others, because I've got rules defined, it's just gone ahead and applied the rules that I've defined. So it's corrected 4 states and 5 store types. So let's go and have a look and see what actually occurred. And here's the one that it suggested. So I'm on the suggested tab for my city domain, and it said, look, I found this thing, New York, which doesn't really sound like it's a proper place. That's probably meant to be New York, I think. So I suspect you're right. It's 74% confident. I like the fact it gives you its level
it's
of confidence.
Smart, yeah.
I'm 74% sure that you meant New York there. So I'm going to say, yeah, you're right. Let's approve that correction. And it disappears magically because it's now appeared on the corrected tab. It's actually gone and corrected that one. Okay, great. That's fantastic. If I look at state, well, I can see that on the corrected tab, there are two, and it's rules that were already there. It's corrected CA to California and WA to Washington. And it's 100% confident of that because it had a rule that knew that told it it was to do that. And similarly, I can also actually see the number that were originally correct. So there were 5 Californias, 9 New Yorks, and 4 Washingtons in the source data. And if I go to store type, yep, it's found a number of things to be corrected, including a whale sale, so it's clearly not that uncommon a typo. So it's found these, and it's able to go and correct them to retail as it brings the data in. And there were already a couple that were correct in there. So great, it's gone ahead and corrected my data. Let's move to the next step. And of course, it hasn't actually updated the source database. It's just simply said, these are the things that I think need to be cleansed. So what I could do is I could export the cleansing results. Now, I could export it back into the existing database and then perhaps have some sort of, you know, final cleanse up store procedure that updates the source data with the cleansed values, or I could take it out into a different source somewhere else. So what I could do is I could say, let's bring this out as an Excel file, and I'm going to browse to my, sure, why not, we'll put it there, cleansed stores. And I'm going to bring out the data and the cleansing info. This standardized output, by the way, I could define standardizing rules like I want you to convert things to uppercase or to convert them or whatever. So that's what that's for. And if I export that, oh, it's done. Yeah, I'm sitting looking at a progress bar that says 100%. So I'm finished exporting it. And now if I go and have a look in that folder, so I'll just open up Excel and open it from there. So I want to open up in Module 8, cleansed stores. And here's the data I get out of there. So I can see it retains the original value and the cleanse value. So I can see for this first one what the store name output was. That's the result of the cleansing. But I can also see further along here the source, the city source. So that's what it was originally for the city. I should have the store name somewhere in here as well, but I'm not seeing it for some reason. Oh, no, because we haven't changed the store name. Huh. It's the store type, yeah. So the things that I've actually changed, the city is here, the city output and the city source. So that was one where I had a domain. And, of course, what it's done is said, well, this was New York, it's still New York. But there may be one in there that's changed. So, for example, there's one in there that is...
There it is, row 19.
19. There you go, New York became New York. And I can see why. I can see what was actually done. The reason was DQS... reckoned that needed to be cleansed, and there was the confidence level with which it did it. So I get a lot of metadata out of there as well that tells me why it's made those corrections. Yeah?
Great.
Okay. Let's go back to the slides. Now, it's worth pointing out, we obviously did this as a kind of interactive experience. I used the tool and I went through and it operated the cleansing, and then I took the results and I can view them and do what I want to do with those results. In a genuine production system, you might not want to have it as manual a process as that. You might want to automate this. And there's actually an add-in for SSIS. So if you're using SQL Server Integration Services to transfer data, perhaps as part of a data warehouse load or something like that, you can actually use the data cleansing component in your data flow. And what it will do is translate the input rows to the output rows, do the cleansing, and you can actually just load the cleansed rows into the destination. And you can then look at the log files and look at the output from that and use that to go back and update your knowledge base and all that kind of thing. So you get that kind of virtuous circle, if you like, of maintaining your knowledge base, and DQS enables you to automate that cleansing process. So it's pretty powerful stuff for doing things like data warehouse loads and so on. So we've talked about data cleansing, and that's one side of the coin with DQS. We can use that knowledge base that we have to cleanse data by correcting values based on what we know about the data. The other thing we can do is we can do data matching. So I can use DQS to identify records that might be duplicates of one another in order to deduplicate my data. So if I've got multiple customers who might have registered multiple times, you know the situation, you've got a website, you register, you go back 6 months later and can't remember your password, so you just register again, but you register with a slightly different username or something like that. Well, how do I know as the guy at the business there that these people are the same people? What I might do is do some sort of data matching. So the way that this works is we define a matching policy. And effectively what we do is we build up a profile of the two records or the multiple records that we're comparing, and we gauge the similarity of the individual domains. And then we add a score to each of those levels of similarity. And when we reach a threshold, we say, look, if the first names are similar, there's a 20% chance it's the same thing. If the last names are also similar, well, there's a significantly more chance it's the same thing. And if the email addresses are identical, then it's pretty much 90% certain this is the same thing. So we build up a degree of confidence by comparing all the different domains and adding scores, and that then lets us become confident that this record means the same thing as this record. Kind of make sense? Okay, well, let's again dive onto the demo machine and see how this works. So I'm back in my data quality services user interface. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start building on that data model I've got in order to do some data matching. So I'll go and take a look at my data, my knowledge base, and I'm going to create a matching policy. So bring up my DemoKB knowledge base for matching policy. Just takes a second or two to load. Here it is. And we're going to take the same process we did when we created our original knowledge base and did some knowledge discovery. So I'm going to go to my subset of my source data, my source spreadsheet in this case, and I'm going to match the domains that I'm going to use in order to compare different stores to see if they're similar. So we've gone ahead and we've got our various fields in here. I've got city, then I can map across to city, and I've got state that maps to state, and I've got store type that maps to store type. So that's pretty good. But that's probably not enough for me to be sure that these are, you know, these are duplicates. If it's in the same city, the same state, and it's the same store type, it doesn't mean it's the same store. So I probably want to add some more information in here. So a couple of things that might be useful, I might want to have a look at the actual store name and the address and the phone number. So let's add the phone number. And of course, I don't have a domain, but we already know we can create a new one. So just go ahead and create a phone number domain. And we have the address. And again, I don't have one of those, but I can add one. And I've run out of rows, which might initially seem like a problem, but there's a handy button here to add another row. And what I can do is map the store name to a new domain for a store name. So again, I'm increasing my knowledge base. I'm increasing what I know about this data. And I'm going to move forward and create a matching policy based on these various columns. So I haven't got any matching rules defined already. I'm going to create a new one. And the new matching rule is going to be is same store. So I'm checking to see if one or more stores actually refer to the same store. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead in this rule editor and I'm going to start comparing the different domains that I've got. So let's add one of these. And I'm going to say, well, if the store name is similar, then let's assume because the store name is similar, there's maybe a 20% chance that these guys are actually the same thing. I get a little warning that says, look, the total percentage must add up to 100%, obviously, because it's a percentage. And the threshold for the minimum matching score is 80%. So what I'm saying is if I'm 80% confident that these fields match, then I'm going to assume that these things are the same thing. So store name is going to account for 20% of my profile. I'm going to add something else into here. I'm going to add the street address. So let's go ahead and add another row into here. It's the address. And I'm going to say if the address is similar, let's add another 20%. So we're building up a picture of confidence of these things being the same thing. We'll have a look at the city. And what I'm going to say is, well, look, I might have stores with the same name and conceivably even the same address. If in the UK, for example, lots of streets have a high street. In the US, lots of streets have a main street. So there's a good chance they'd have the same address. They might even have the same name. So I'm going to say, look, if the city's an exact match, then I'm going to assume that these guys are the same. But if it's just similar, there's lots of cities that have similar kind of names. I might not necessarily want to measure it on similarity. So we're going to use an exact match for that. So again, we'll say that if there's an exact match of the city, there's 20% to be added to our total. And again, I'm going to go with the phone number. And again, I'll say I'm looking for an exact match on the phone number, and I'm going to add, let's say, 30%. If the phone number is exactly the same, that's a pretty good indicator that this is the same store. And I'm going to add the store type. So let's go ahead and add store type. That's down at the bottom. And I can say, well, if the store type is similar, then I'm going to say there's a 10% chance that that might be. I mean, I've got lots of retailers and lots of wholesale stores, so that's a good chance. Now, I've reached my 100%, but I'm going to add one more in here just to kind of show the kind of power of this. I'm going to say, I'm going to add the state, and I'm going to say that the state then is an exact match, and that's a prerequisite. Right, so it's only going to consider a match if they are in exactly the same state. If they're in different states, then, you know, all bets are off sort of thing. So that's the way that I can define the rules for my matching score. And what I'm now ready to do is just go and have a quick look at the policy. So I'm going to run the policy and view it against my data that I'm using just to set the thing up, my initial sort of subset of data. So we'll go and run that, and it'll take a little while to run. And it's gone and done some matching, and it's found store one, and it says, well, there's a 92% chance that this is actually the same thing as store one, where it's spelled out O-N-E, because it's got the same address, the same city. There's a whole bunch of similarities between these two things. I'm 92% that's the same thing. And you notice it's created this idea of a record ID, so each individual record gets an ID, and there's a cluster ID. Because, of course, we're looking at two stores that might be the same thing, but there could be five stores that might be the same thing. There could be a whole cluster of records that, based on various different matches, could refer to the same store. So what DQS does is it defines a cluster that says, here's a cluster of records that I think are the same thing, and lets me look at that. So I could carry on through that wizard. I could run it again here, but I've already got the value, and I can see a bit more information here about the new values that were found. Well, of course, it found new values for store name because we didn't have that in there before, but I can see the various unique values that were found throughout that. And what I'll do is just go right to the end and finish creating this matching policy, and I'll publish that because I'm now ready to actually use it to match some data. So it just takes a few seconds to go and publish. And then once it's published, I'm ready to actually start applying that to a genuine data source, to my database. So great, I'm now ready to create another new data quality project. And this is going to be called Match Stores. Again, using DemoKB, but this time the activity I'm using it for is matching. So it creates the new project. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say in SQL Server, I'll use my DemoQS database and my stores table. And again, we'll just match those columns across. So match them across to the various domains that I've got. State goes to state. Store name goes to store name. And store type goes to store type. And we'll add one more row, so that we can map street address to address. And what I'm able now to do is much the same as I did when I was building the model. I'm actually going to match, this time I'm matching genuine application data. So off it's going to go and run. And so it's pre-processed the records. It's now actually doing the matching operation. And it's found a couple of clusters of records that might be the same record. And if I go to the end of this process, I can go ahead and I can say I want to export the results again. And I want to export not just the matching results, but I could also specify what I should use as the survivors. I could decide, well, which one of these different variants of the same thing do I want to actually be the one that survives? So I'm going to choose that as well. The matching results, I'm going to just save out as matched stores. And the survivors, I'm obviously just going to save that out again as survivors. And I can choose how I want to define the survivors. How do I decide which record should survive? A pivot record is just an arbitrary record that's chosen by DQS as being, well, we're going to choose that one. I could choose the one that's most complete and longest. So in other words, it's the record that has the most number of fields with values in it that are non-null, and it has the longest values in there. It's the longest, the most amount of data. I could just choose the most complete, or I could just choose the longest. I'm going to choose most complete in this instance. And I'll go ahead and export those results. So it generates those two Excel files and exports them. There we go. And I'm now finished with my project, so I can close that. And if I have a look in that folder, and actually, again, we'll just fire up Excel and open them rather than go drilling through the file system. So if I go and open up a workbook, I've got match stores and survivors. So let's look at match stores first of all. And here's what I get. I get the cluster information about what it found and the rule that was used to match. We've only got the one rule. The score that it came up with to tell me that percentage of confidence in whether these are the same. And here, the one that's marked pivot is the arbitrary pivot record that's been chosen by DQS. And I can see which of these stores were quite similar. And of course, if there had been more than two that looked the same, I would have had a cluster and then multiple rows within that same cluster. So that's great. That's what it's done. How do I decide which ones I'm going to keep as survivors? Well, let's have a look at the survivor record. Not quite sure why I closed Excel there, but never mind. We'll just do it again. So I'm going to open up from my computer the survivors workbook. And here's the ones that have been chosen as survivors. I said it was the most complete record. And what it's done is gone through and said, well, out of that lot, based on that rule, these are the ones I'm going to choose. So it's quite nicely corrected store 1, O-N-E, to just be store 1 with the number. And store 16 has been converted to store 16 as well. So it's figured out these are the ones that I want to keep. These are the master record, if you like, or the definitive record. So that's our little trip through data quality services. And that's the end of that module. So what do you think, Pete?
You know, what I really like about it is we think about SQL Server as often just tools for database professionals that are actually implementing databases or writing T-SQL code. And the tools in data quality services are really, for the data steward, they can actually do operations and discovery on the data. That often the database administrator really has no idea about the actual values that are in the database. So it brings that sort of collaboration together. I love the way you explained that it tells the whole story of improving the cycle of the quality of data and the iterative work where the data steward can do the operations to discover and cleanse the data and then work with their DBA or their database developer to actually implement those changes on the actual data. And it's better, cleaner data for everybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. I think that the thing I keep finding here is that in any business, business is a team sport. So the IT department are providing a service to the business, and that's what they do. But the business itself has value to add to that as well. It's not all about having a database. It's about running a business that uses data. Yeah. And bringing data stewards in there who are business users who understand the data and understand how it's used gives you a much more powerful platform.
Now with these really awesome tools that facilitate that conversation.
Exactly, yeah. So great, I hope you've enjoyed that little trip through DQS. If you hadn't seen that before, like I said, that arrived in SQL Server 2012, and clearly it's also there in 2014. So if you're moving up for SQL Server 2008, then you might want to look at this because it's a really powerful way to manage the quality of your data, and especially if you're building things like data warehouses to do reporting from, it's a great way of making sure that your data is clean and it's consistent and it's valid. So, fantastic. Thanks very much for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed that session. And please join us again for Module 4 after this. Thank you.